Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this Monday in Madrid. A whole lot to discuss over the next half hour. The return of Rafa continues in the Spanish capital. See what the five-time champ did for the first time this year as Nadal was pushed to the limit. Plus, all 16 women remaining played for spots in the quarterfinals. Find out which unseeded players made their way to the last eight club, including one birthday girl. And as the Bryan brothers celebrate their birthday today, we hear some of the best stories from them on court. You don't want to miss it on TC Live. Come on in. Great to have you here with us as always. Steve Weissman back alongside the lady in red, Coco Vandeweghe.
Thank you. I'm the living emoji right now.
You are. The dancing lady in red. And, of course, the Hall of Famer Andy Roddick on the big screen. The streak is over. After 15 wins in a row, Danielle Collins finally going down to Aryna Sabalenka. But what a run it was.
No, it was a heck of a run. And I just called that match with Chanda. And she was really just hit her limit, hit her wall emotionally, physically. Everything just came rushing out after she lost that second set. I thought she was going to sneak this one out. I mean, she really had her chances against Aryna Sabalenka. Played a poor game at 4-3, but I'm not going to give everything away. We still got the highlights to get through. You know, I got to save something for that.
Yeah, you can save it. I'll say that Sabalenka's pretty good also. Listen, I know Danielle Collins has played great stuff. Winning Miami, winning in Charleston. She's allowed to lose sometimes, especially to Aryna Sabalenka. Sabalenka, by the way, won the Australian Open this year. So not like an upset. Let's not treat it like an upset yet.
And won Madrid last year. So has won it twice, in fact. We will have the full highlights of that match coming up later on TC Live. But we begin with Rafa Nadal, who has ruled this event for nearly 20 years. Won his first title in Madrid back in 2005 when it was played indoors on a hard court in October. It was also a best-of-five final, and Rafa came from two sets down to defeat Ivan Ljubicic. So fast forward to Monday, and Nadal coming off his first top 20 win in 2 years, facing Pedro Cachin, Andy. First set was all Rafa.
Watch what you have to cover here, Steve. 5 feet outside the sideline, and then again to the other corner. Listen, Rafa may not be as good as he once was, but listen, you still have to cover that court, and he still presents absolute problems. You cannot get cute with Rafa. You've got to be aggressive and put the ball away. Dinking the ball around rarely will serve you well against Rafa, but credit to Cachin for really hanging in there in that second set. Rafa was up and down throughout the last two sets of this match, but Cachin stayed in there, right? He was up two breaks in the second set. Rafa fought back. We're saying, okay, we've seen this before. Look at that passing shot off the serve and volley, which was also a surprise tactic against Rafa, but really stayed in there. Rafa, I think his kind of best moment of the last two sets was maybe the last 15 minutes of the match. You saw him get a jump on that when he's starting to see the ball a little bit earlier. You know he hits a backhand well when the guy guesses to the correct side and still doesn't get anywhere near it. But Rafa just wore him down like we've seen many times before. One more flag forehand, and Rafa still alive in Madrid.
Gosh, love this emotion from Nadal. 3 hours and 4 minutes. Since 2005, Nadal now 162-1 against players ranked outside the top 50 on clay. And how about that special moment at the net? Cachin said to Rafa, "You have fulfilled a dream for me. Can I keep a shirt or something?" Rafa gives him the souvenir of a lifetime. We'll always remember this day, Pedro will. And take a look what Nadal has done with this third round victory. Three straight wins for the first time since the U.S. Open 2022. Longest match of the year, more than 3 hours, and he will take on Jiří Lehečka for a shot to reach the quarters. Here's Rafa giving an assessment of his game today.
This match was an up and down. How do you feel about your tennis?
Well, some moments good, some moments not good. But I find a way to to be through. No, I think in the third set, even with some mistakes, I was able to be a little bit more unpredictable, and that probably changed the match.
When you're on this court, how much of the experience is pleasure and how much is it pain?
No, now enjoying. No, let's see how I wake up tomorrow. No, I don't know. I mean, day by day, enjoying the fact that play at home means everything to me, and just try my best to keep dreaming. No, and tomorrow is another day to keep dreaming, playing in front of this amazing crowd, and that for me, it's everything.
Keep dreaming. I absolutely love to hear that. Before Madrid, Coco, Rafa had not won a match that had lasted more than 90 minutes. Now he's won two in a row, including his first three-setter. So what did you learn about him today?
I mean, we didn't learn anything because we know this about Rafa, that he is the ultimate fighter. He is the ultimate test on a clay court for any player at any level that Rafa shows up on a clay court surface. But what I love that he keeps saying is he's still living the dream. And that's something that no one wants to see finish anytime soon. And I think at least selfishly for myself, I don't want to see Rafa go anytime soon. But unfortunately, Father Time is undefeated. And hopefully we get to see a lot more matches from Rafa going into this clay court season. And hopefully he has that Cinderella story that Pete Sampras had and wins the Roland Garros.
For the 15th time. Andy, the other day we were talking about the six pumper that he had on the lawnmower. Today, it was the double lawnmower, double pumper. I mean, he showed us all the celebrations right now. What stood out to you?
Yeah, he went full Frank the Tank on that one, Steve. I was happy to see it. But listen, let's preface any sort of concern about the way he's playing with, it's a gift to us as tennis fans that he's out there playing, right? He said he was losing to kids at his academy 3 weeks ago in practice, and now here he is. Listen, whatever happens for the rest of this Madrid tournament, and maybe it ends tomorrow, I don't know, this is great for his prospects for Roland Garros. Getting into those tough matches, feeling those moments of pressure again, this is already a win, this tournament. Absolutely. Is he getting out of the corners as well as he used to? No. Is he getting bullied to that backhand side a little bit more than he used to? Absolutely. I think when push comes to shove, and Lehecka will give a bit of a tell, not totally clay fluent, but does like to bully the ball. That's where I think the rubber meets the road for Rafa. Listen, and we always judge people against their shadows, which Rafa is creative, a massive one. But listen, can he get out of the corners against someone like Sinner, who is just beating him into the corners? I think he's going to have to be more aggressive on a clay court than he's ever been in his life to be the most effective version of himself.
It's the night session on Tuesday, 3:30 Eastern, right here on Tennis Channel. Don't miss that. He'll go for his 10th straight quarterfinal appearance in Madrid. How about the top seed? Jannik Sinner in action today. This is a guy who's won 27 in a row against players ranked outside the top 20. Would that continue, Andy, against Pavel Kotov?
I would have said yes before, and I'll say yes now, especially because I already know the results, Steve. Look at that. You can't hide from anywhere, anything on the internet these days. But Sinner looked great in the first set, was just beating the guy to the corner. The first three games honestly looked like a mismatch in a junior match where you're going, okay, this is different gravy. But credit to Kotov, really dug in the second set. Sinner made a few more errors than I've seen, probably maybe the diciest set I've seen him play in 6 months or so. But listen, the best players in the world, the guys that want to be number one, which Sinner will be at some point this season, find a way to win with less than their best. Credit to Rafa in the previous highlight. He has, you know, made that fluent. I don't know what this is. Everyone always tries it, and it literally worked one time ever when Chang did it to Lendl, and people think it's a realistic solution to any problem out there. But I digress. Listen, Sinner got through it, stepped up when he had to. He can miss for the better part of half hour, 45 minutes, and still know that he can make the shot when the chips are down. That's confidence.
Long live Chang over Lendl, by the way. Said he's been struggling a little bit with his right hip. We're trying to find a solution, but said he does not think it is serious. The women's number one, Iga Swiatek, still on course for her first title in Madrid. No trouble today, Coco, with Sara Cerebes-Tormo.
No, none whatsoever. And look how quickly she moves up to take this ball on the rise. Iga is the ultimate clay court player and the test for the women's side of the tour to see where everyone kind of falls. And Cerebes-Tormo, who is a very good clay courter herself, just had zero solutions for Iga. I mean, she could not get out of her backhand corner. And Iga just, I mean, again, just being so relentless in just her methodicalness of going through these matches. with ease. I mean, again, breadstick in the first set, but just how aggressive she was returning. That's something that we don't see from Iga on the clay courts all the time. But she's letting Soritsutomo have no room to breathe. And then an easy 6-0 second set. Welcome to the bakery.
A delayed double bagel for Iga. She has now won more than 16% of her sets at the 1,000 level by 6-love. 16% total sets. Bagel. Absolute domination. Only dropped 8 games in 3 matches so far. How about the 5-seed Maria Sakkari taking on Beatriz Haddad-Maia? A lot of Brazilian support in the stands for Bia, Coco.
Oh, no. The Brazilian fans came out in absolute full force, and I think they really lifted Haddad-Maia into victory in this match. But Maria Sakkari just wasn't able to get out of the lefty forehand to her backhand exchanges. And that was so tough. And Haddad-Maia made this court look like a hard court. She was able to keep looping that lefty forehand, opening up the down the line, and really dominant off of her serve. Her serve plus one was just so unbelievably successful out here against Maria Sakkari, who is usually one of the fittest, one of the most athletic people out there, and Haddad-Maia just taking that aspect out of her game.
She has not dropped a set yet this tournament. Will face Iga Świątek in the quarters. Will rematch from the United Cup as Bia is moving on. Yelena Ostapenko and Ons Jabeur played a practice match before the tournament. Ostapenko won that easily, Andy, but when it counted, Jabeur stepped up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what happens when the light's not on, Steve. Jabeur has played her way into this tournament. You remember she was struggling physically in that first round. Since then, I think she's built as much momentum in this tournament as she has all season. It feels like she's been searching for something, and dare I say she might have found something today. She wasn't making those little errors. She was moving the ball around the court. She was hitting it firm enough to where the variety could actually show itself. I thought she was in full control of her game. Listen, right there on cue, she hits a little drop shot. I wish I could have hit one of those in my life just to see how it felt for a second. But the slice in full force, Ostapenko just didn't know what was coming. And here's the highlight of every Ostapenko match. What is going to happen with a handshake? Oh, the slow-mo. Oh, she hates everybody during a handshake, doesn't she?
And by the way, that's with Ons, who hugs everyone, win or lose. Yeah. Always a hug. Not this one for Penko. Big battle between two of the top 4 ranked American women in the world, Coco Gauff, Madison Keys. They had split their previous 4 matches, Coco.
It was going to be a tough battle, and I knew that was going to happen. But this is what we have seen from Coco Gauff too many times throughout the season, as well as she has played and as successful as she has played, is just the double fault count is just far too high. You can't have those many opportunities go back to Keys' racket. But she was able to get back into this match by these extended rallies and getting into the Keys' backhand. And Maddie will give you airs if you just keep getting the ball back in play, which was what Coco Gauff was able to do. But again, when the chips were down for Coco Gauff, it was the serve that let her down. And if you can't get the serves back in play and keep giving another opportunity for Maddie Keys, she's going to make you pay.
Well, the last 4 games of the match told Prakash about a racket adjustment she made after.
You're trying to find some perspective with how hard you actually hit the ball.
Yes, I am. Because I think, especially because of my shoulder injury, we switched rackets. So I went from an 18-20 to a 16-19, and I took the gut out of my racket, and now I'm with just all poly. And I'm really missing, like, that nice, crisp sound of gut.
With the gut.
So I'm swinging so hard at the ball, and it's dropping in. And Bjorn's like, that's unbelievable. And I'm like, really? It felt soft.
All right, that's some great tennis nerd combo right there, Andy. So I want you to break this down for the layman. What does it mean? She went from an 18-20 to a 16-19. No more gut, all poly.
Yeah, okay. So basically, the tighter string pattern, less power, more control. She opened up the string pattern a little bit. So 18 man cross, whatever. It's a little bit wider, creates more spin, more power. But she offsets that power with going all poly, which is basically like bumper guards for a tennis racket if you were a bowling fan.
I'm surprised after this many seasons that she's now deciding to change what she's doing. But again, it's injuries that cause people to make changes. I mean, we saw Federer do it late in his career, but I'm a little surprised that she was playing with his gut for as long as she was. I mean, I thought gut was dead at this point. The only people that were using gut were Venus and Serena, but news to me that Maddie was using the gut. I thought everyone was all poly, not that she needs any more power whatsoever.
people love the gut. It's a nice little feel, right?
I mean, I hated the gut. I couldn't play with it. I couldn't play with it.
Do you ever do the cross, though?
I tried it both ways. I was unsuccessful both ways. I just did not have any feel with the gut. It felt like the ball flew on me. I needed the poly just to deaden things.
Yeah, I got caught in the crossfire of, like, the first generation of player that all of a sudden had grown up since they were 10 with poly, and I couldn't get away from the gut, right? I did everything better except serve, and I knew where my bills were paid. I could never get away from it. I had to stay with the gut, and I hated myself for it. I knew the benefit. I serve bot.
Serve bot life.
OG serve bot.
That's it.
All right, now you're caught up on all the tennis insights when it comes to rackets. Much more still to come here on TC Live. Do not go anywhere. Daniil Medvedev, he struggled against Sebi Korda last year. Will the American find a winning formula yet again? And how would the Coco Vandeweghe popcorn match of the day turn out between Danielle Collins and Aryna Sabalenka? Get your movie butter and truffle salt ready. It is a tasty highlight.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Bruno Merwin, and here's tomorrow's Madrid Open forecast for Madrid, Spain. We got a nice afternoon, temperatures in the upper 60s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app and stream it on your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Bruno. Love to hear that. Good weather in Madrid. We've got you covered on T2 coming up on Tuesday starting at 5 a.m. Eastern. Andre Rublev taking on Talon Griekspoor, and then American Taylor Fritz, the last American man remaining in the singles draw against Hubie Hurkacz. That leads into the last day of second serve on T2 for this event, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll see who shows up for some incredible guests that they always have on this show. Bradley Klon joining Nick Monroe and Jeff Chisiver to take you through the action on T2. Back to La Caja Mágica, two of the three American men remaining in the draw playing Monday. Seb Korda, Daniil Medvedev playing for the fifth time, and he split their previous four meetings.
Yeah, this has been a tough matchup for Medvedev in the past, and it continued to be so here in this first set. It seems like Korda really gets up for this match, can bully Medvedev maybe around the court with some clean ball striking more than most people, but Medvedev, he just finds a way to be a complete pain in the butt. Steve, I'm not going to say the word I was thinking. I wouldn't do that on Tennis Channel, I promise you. But Medvedev is just, he's so annoyingly good all the time. This is such an intelligent pass, and people don't realize he held that to last possible second. Korda checks right, and then the cross court pass is wide open. He doesn't even respond anymore. It's like Rybakina when he wins a match now.
he did say the courts are a bit smaller than he would like. So he played like someone who is pushing him in the back. American Ben Shelton, Andy, looking to extend his perfect run on clay this year, facing Alexander Bublik.
Yeah, and Shelton's been in form. I like the way that he's adjusted to clay this far. And a confident player assigned is when they put pressure on you immediately right out of the gate. And Shelton was able to do that. Hold serve, nice little high backhand pass on the backhand side. Very underrated pass, tough to hit. A high volley that's going away from you and behind you. This was a bad volley. This changed the entire match because up until now, Ben Shelton was the better player in this match and Bublik was surviving. But then, getting to the third set, you go from survive to thrive. This was another average, that's such an intelligent shot, over the backhand side, going backwards against the movement. That is peak intelligence. I hope people understand how good of a decision that was. And I hope they also understand the match is over, because that serve was in.
Survive to thrive, Sasha Bublik. First top 20 win on clay since 2021, by the way. Check out his interview with Prakash on all the Tennis Channel social media. Really good stuff. He'll play Medvedev next. Nadal gets Lehechka. Felix Auger-Aliassime taking on Casper Ruud, who's having a spectacular season, low-key under the radar. And then Jannik Sinner against Corinne Khachanov. To the women we go. Big happy birthday to Mira Andreeva, turned 17 today. Would she celebrate with a win over Jasmine Paolini and a trip to the quarters, Coco?
She's going to get some tiramisu out here soon to really celebrate, but it's just been Mira Andreeva's season. I mean, she's coming into her own. She's maturing. This is her sophomore year out here full-time on the WTA Tour, trying to get through that age eligibility rules. I mean, it's never easy. But Mira Andreeva is so good at just controlling her emotions, which is something you don't really see from the younger players. Sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're not, but she is able to just bully Paolini around on her forehand, which usually Paolini's able to dictate from the middle of the court. But Mira Andreeva just had the book, and really, I wasn't shocked at all to see this result.
Well, she does call Madrid her place of power into her first quarterfinal at this level, second top 15 win of the week. That is how you celebrate your 17th birthday. Had a nice little meal with her coach, Conchita Martinez, her mom as well after. So Mira moving on. We'll play the winner of this match, the defending champ, Aryna Sabalenka, and Danielle Collins, who came in on that 15-match win streak, Coco.
Sabalenka came out really flat in this match, got down the early break, and Danielle Collins was doing Danielle Collins things. I mean, she was bullying around the baseline. She was changing direction with that backhand so well. And what was the most impressive part was how she was able to read Sabalenka's serve. And there's not many players that can hit return winners and have an idea of where Sabalenka's serving on the first serve, let alone also the second serve. But Sabalenka hung tough and really stayed in this. And Danielle Collins played a very bad game at 4-3, just tight, and just the momentum really flipped. And she tried to do everything possible, pulling the John McEnroe stunts of getting mad at someone in the crowd, getting mad at anybody and everything, just to try to will her way through this. But I think the clock struck midnight for Danielle Collins, just too tough to really sustain that level.
Aryna Sabalenka now 5-0 head-to-head against Danielle Collins. We'll take on the 17-year-old Andreeva next. We got Yulia Putintseva, who upset Daria Kasatkina. We'll play Elena Rybakina. Keys against Ons Jabeur and Iga Swiatek against Beatrice Haddad-Maia. Andy, after the Australian Open, for Aryna Sabalenka, it's been a bit of a struggle. Like, for anybody else, it's okay. But for her, for the level she's reached, a bit of a struggle. How much did this win mean to her today?
I think her just getting back into the flow of those tense moments. We mentioned Rafa needing it. I think she needed it to a lesser extent. I mean, let's be sane. She won a major in January, right? So let's not get too carried away. But Sabalenka, you're never worried about her top level, right? All you're worried about is her having enough matches to find that top level. And obviously she's been going through some personal stuff that we can't even imagine. So how that affects her, we'll never know. But what we do know is that if she gets the reps, she is one of the best two, three, four players in the world all the time right now.
And sometimes you need these tough moments and to kind of pick yourself back up. Aryna Sabalenka, like Annie was saying, did win the Australian Open. And clay is not going to be her best surface, but she does need matches under her belt. And it's crazy to say when someone that was so successful so early and the way she went through that Australian Open draw was something to behold. But I think these tough matches that she is going through is going to really set the tone for her, the rest of her clay court season, getting through these nitty-gritty moments. It's so key and so motivating for a player.
Yeah, good stuff for Aryna Sabalenka and great stuff for Danielle Collins. Deserved a few days off. Now she gets them heading into Rome and Roland Garros. We've got more for you coming up here on TC Live. Andy Murray got injured a month ago in Miami, so will he be ready for Roland Garros? We've got a big update next. Welcome back. A reminder that Served with Andy Roddick is a new weekly series on T2. Watch as the Hall of Famer discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and other special guests. Tune in for a new episode premiering every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. This week, it is Lindsay Davenport. Last week was the Bryan brothers. Take a listen.
Show up at Wimbledon. There were some tension. The monkey was growing on our back. We should get this one done in straights. We scraped by. We went 11-9 in the fifth. A lot of people would be relieved. We were pissed off. We're discussing the match in the transportation car going back, pointing, and those pointing fingers turn into shoves, and then now we're swinging. The car's rocking side to side. We get to the house. We're getting our bags out of the car, and Mike slaps me in the face. And then he takes off running up the stairs. I'm running after him. He grabs the rails and mule kicks me off the stairs into the bushes. And I just bounce up like Terminator and I'm running after him. We run all the way to the third floor. He locks himself in the bathroom. I'm banging on the door like a scene out of The Shining. All I see is this shiny prized possession is Taylor guitar. And I splintered that thing. You couldn't take it to a repair shop and put it back together. That thing was toast. But the funny thing is, like 5 minutes later, we're having dinner.
And oh, he was like, we shared a bank account, so actually I smashed my guitar. But that was just one of the couple stories, Andy, that they told you.
Yeah, I begged them to come on because I've heard these stories over a couple of beers before, and we're just in hysterics. And then they were so gracious and came and did a charity event for my foundation last year. And I said, listen, will you, a small group of people, 20 people, will you just tell the stories? And they said yes. And I said, okay, maybe we have like 25 listeners on the podcast. Can you just tell the stories? And they came on and told it. And listen, those stories, they'll buckle some knees. They're so gracious. I love Bob and Mike.
I mean, anyone who has grown up with siblings knows that those fights mean something. There is blood. I've had plenty of fights with my older brother that have gotten way too physical for our age. And you know what? I want to say I come up on top more times than I lose, but any sibling fight, it gets serious. It gets serious quickly. I can't believe it got to the point of breaking someone's equipment. Usually it just stays in the wrestling department, but you know, it's... These guys are legends, and they've been through so much together. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear a lot of sibling squabbles.
I mean, these are the GOATs. These are the GOATs. I mean, most wins, most Grand Slams, absolutely everything. By the way, happy birthday, Bob and Mike. It's their birthday today, so celebrating. I hosted this event on Friday where they were both honored at the Ojai. They won that as juniors. They won that in high school. They won that in college as well. They've literally... won everything.
There was no fights during
there were
that
no
one.
Fights.
No black eyes, no blood, no more mule kicks out there.
And the U.S. Open story, Andy, I mean, that was next level. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. If that happened in social media today, it'd be everywhere.
Yeah, it was the Aussie Open. There was months-long buildup. Mike was going through some stuff on a personal level. I only heard this one last October, and Bob basically blindly swung because he was mad and knocked Mike out cold in the middle of the Australian Open. But you'll have to listen for more detail. But listen, Bob is an unbelievable storyteller. As he's being an unbelievable storyteller, Mike is just poking the bear the entire time. And I find it glorious. I hope people find it half as funny as I do.
It's the best. And watch it on Served with Andy Roddick, Lindsay Davenport this week. Mike and Bob, we love you. Happy birthday. Here's what's trending on social media. Last month, Andy Murray tore ankle ligaments in this match against Thomas Mahach in Miami. He did finish the match, did not have to get surgery. However, we did not think he would be ready to play at Roland Garros. Well, get this. Just reposted by the LTA, Andy Murray crushing forehands on the red clay. So what does this tell you, Coco?
I mean, watch out, Roland Garros. I mean, it's so tough to watch this guy go through so many injuries as much as he has. And I mean, I know plenty about an ankle injury, and it's always difficult going onto the clay court surface where you're sliding and have to trust that your ankle will hold. But it's great to see Andy back, and hopefully he can have his final push for Wimbledon.
Listen, everything right now is secondary to what Coco just said. You circle that in big red marker, Wimbledon, and you work backwards from there, right? If you don't know how long you're going to play and you've won Wimbledon and everything that came along with it, not winning since the 20s, you are going to want that long goodbye there, and deservedly so. The most impressive thing about this video is the accuracy of feeding to make sure he doesn't have to move an inch to hit those forehands.
Got to have a good feeder. But Andy, smart or not smart to play Roland Garros if your goal is Wimbledon?
That would require me being his ankle and knowing how I felt, right? Like, listen, I don't think there's a lot of upside with playing it, frankly. If I'm Murray, I'd rather get into a challenger on grass the second week. Unbelievable. I can't keep watching this replay of ankle turns. I can't see it. But listen, his lowest ceiling is on clay. His highest ceiling is on grass. Grass backwards would be the way that I would advise him if I was in the Murray camp.
Made one final at Roland Garros. Four other semifinals as well.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, get ready for Wimbledon. But wherever he wants to play, we are pleased to broadcast and watch those matches. Like Tuesday, where we're here for you on TC and T2, starting at 5 a.m. Eastern. Second serve's last day is tomorrow for this event. TC Live, three of us back at 6 Eastern to wrap it all up. And, of course, the encore coverage from Madrid. Hot shot of the day and much more straight ahead. Andy, Coco, Steve back on TC Live reminding you Tennis Channel, Tennis Channel Plus, and T2 once again bringing you extensive daily live coverage from Roland Garros next month. Yelena Ostapenko back in the top 10, one of the former champs in Paris. All the action begins Sunday, May 26th at 5 a.m. Eastern. That was back in 2017. Let's take a look at our hot shot of the day, Coco. It was a good one, and it features Yelena Ostapenko.
Yeah, on the wrong end of receiving things. I mean, the dropper off of the serve on the forehand side, on feeling herself. I mean, you can't defend it. What are you going to do?
And that was after taking a bagel set. I mean, that's ruthless.
Pouring salt in the wound right there. Not Minister of Happiness.
Ostapenko was not after the match or the handshake, that's for sure. Our not hot shot of the day from the training room. This is Bastian Arnold. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, buddy.
No.
Buddy.
I mean, listen, if you're going to do stupid party tricks, at least, like, have it be amazing. Like, even if he had pulled that off, it would have been like, cool, bro. The downside so far exceeds the upside on this one. Just bad judgment, really.
I mean, that's like goodbye credential. You got to kick him off the team at that point. You're just making everybody look bad.
You're fired.
Oh, man. That's Sasha Zverev's physio. I don't know if he should still be working with him after that. Tuesday, 5 a.m. Eastern. Take a look at our featured matches. Fourth round for the men. Quarterfinals for the ladies. It's getting down to the good stuff. Iga Świątek in action, Jannik Sinner as well, Carlos Alcaraz, Matty Keys, and Rafa Nadal both in the night session. For more on these matches, let's head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our FanDuel desk. Pew, we get a rematch of last year's final. Jan-Leonard Struff and Carlos Alcaraz. Can Struffy stop the Spaniard?
Short answer, no. I don't think he can. Carlos has been looking great so far. Good news for Struffy, though, is he's feeling really confident, picked up a title last week, and that serve has really been working for him here. So if he can push it into a breaker, sneak out a set like he did last year, that's going to be his best shot. Got to serve well, but I like the defending champ.
Winner books their ticket into the quarterfinals here in Madrid. Going to be fun action on Tuesday.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Prakash going with Carlos. It is a rematch of last year's final. Alcaraz has said he is still not hitting his forehand at 100% because of his forearm. He has not needed to, Coco. Does he need to in this match?
I don't think he needs to. I think Carlos is going to be too difficult on the clay court for Struff. I don't think Struff can use his weapons, which is his serve, and being able to come forward to the net. I think Carlos just is able to keep that ball up high, keep it out of Struff's strike zone. And really, I mean, goodness, what a tongue twister that one was. I just failed on my own, but I mean, I think Carlos just comes out with a victory, plain and simple.
Yeah, this is a weird one, Steve, because Alcaraz is kind of like a combination of Rafa, Roger, and Novak. But like the more Novak he gets into his game over time, the better. I weirdly think this restraint, it might serve him well at some point. Like the only problem with being able to hit every single shot from every single position is that sometimes you try to hit every single shot from every single position. So like I don't think he needs it. And like weirdly, when he learns to extend rallies and not be absolutely phenomenal and, you know, acrobatic on every shot, like little more Novak, not the worst thing for Chuckster.
I like the way you're thinking. I also like if you're a combination of Roger, Rafa, and Novak, I mean, you're kind of the best ever. I don't know. That's a good combo. Madison Keys looking for her first win, Andy, against Ons Jabeur. Has not won a set against Ons. Both of those matches on hard courts. What's the strategy on the Madrid clay for her?
Yeah, I can see where this matchup would be tricky for Madison because she likes being set and letting it rip, right? Ons doesn't. She's not going to let her get 2 feet in the same position. Right, she's going to go up the line, she's going to switch directions, she's going to play slices, she's going to play drop shots, all of which Madison doesn't like. I know that game backwards. Roger hit me a little Chipper Magoo backhand and I just shanked it all over the place for a decade. Like, I understand it. Madison has to serve well, right? She has to hold her own serve and create some scoreboard pressure for Ons. But when I mentioned during, we were in the fallout of the highlight with Ons, she's sticking the ball from the baseline a little bit better this week, where it's been
kind of coming off foul balls, foul tips for the rest of the season. If she's able to stick it and keep Madison back in neutral and then mix in the change of direction, the change of pace, it's going to be tough for Madison.
I think anytime Madison is facing that many different kinds of balls that Ons is going to possess, it's going to be a problem. But I do think that Madison Keys has a good shot at this. I mean, we haven't seen Ons play that well. Today was the first time that we've seen Ons at least look like herself. It's been a really hard road for Ons, injuries. I mean, other personal factors that come into play that we forget that tennis players are human. We do have our own problems out there. And I think if Maddie Keys is going to be able to get Ons at any point in time, it's now where Ons is not feeling her most confident, not her most comfortable. And I think this clay court is going to suit Maddie Keys. I mean, new tension. I mean, the new racket frame. I mean, you name it, you feeling good. It's like when these golfers get a new putter. Somehow everything seems to just be Drano. So, I mean, might as well let Maddie Keys have a shot at this.
That positive all poly coming into effect here. It's going to be a super Tuesday in Madrid. We got both top seeds. We got Carlos Alcaraz. We got Rafa Nadal. Stay with us on Tennis Channel for all of the action. For Andy Roddick, Coco Vandeweghe, I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for watching TC Live. And Rafa, now when he comes off court, he's got his wife and he's got his son to say hello to. Rafa Jr. Oh, what a cutie. The action from Madrid continues next right here